Time to catch up with David Renicky from davidrenicky.com, the man who has the wickedest sense of humour out there, but he also has a great intimate knowledge of the stars and the sky. David, hello. It's good to be back again.
So kind. Good to be with you again, Bilko.
Thank you so much, mate. Talk about this. We've got a NASA being sued by Jeff Bezos, his company. There must be more going on there.
Well, look, you got to feel sorry for Jeff Bezos in this regard. I do. Commercialization of space is a reality now. I mean, we've talked about this before. NASA, the American Space Program in general, Soviet Union, all of these can't really sustain it. It's too costly, so it's got to go over to private enterprise, which it has. And we've seen how competition can bring down not only prices, but also bring in innovation. And that's what's happening with Elon Musk. Jeff Bezos is in there. Now, we saw him launch a crew of people. They both want to do the same sort of thing. But there's a bit of a fuss going on at the moment, and I can understand how Bezos would have his nose out of joint, because he's put an application into NASA on their request to take over running and getting people up to the space station.
Yeah, well, NASA don't want to do it. They don't want to get into the tourist industry. That's the thing. They're there for scientific exploration.
Yeah, that's right. And NASA have said, look, we've got a contract here worth quite a lot of money, so we're going to ask you and Jeff Bezos to submit your plan. What can you do for us for this amount of money? And Elon Musk has come back with a better plan and a more workable plan in their eyes and more bang for their buck. Now, that's business. That's why it goes. But Bezos has turned around and said, no, it's not a flat playing field. He said, we've been cut out of this and we don't deserve that. And my opinion is there's room for both, really. I mean, if you look at it in toto, there's a lot up there. Space is a pretty big place. So he's now taken out an injunction. He's taken out a complaint against NASA with the U.S. Court of Federal Claims.
Oh,
how this is going to play out, I don't know. But I do know one thing, that, this is not the first one. This is one of many we're going to see in the future.
God.
But NASA, looking at it, and in their reply to him was, quote-unquote, they're currently reviewing the details of the case sympathetically.
No one owns space, all right? You can't claim any bit of space, no matter, even if you try and claim parts of the moon, you can't.
Not legally, no.
No, it's the biggest natural resource out there. Everyone's got, it's fair game. It's almost like the Wild West out there.
California gold rush all over again.
Loving it. Now, tell us about, this is another NASA one. NASA's working on some space station cargo that involves a 3D printing system. Now, what are they trying to fake with this thing? I mean, why would you need a 3D printer on a space station cargo ship?
This is a good idea.
Is it?
This is absolutely brilliant. We've got the technology now to do it. The idea here is we've got a 3D, they've got a 3D printer. They can build a large version of what you and I know as the 3D printer. But this 3D printer is different. It doesn't really work on making things like you see with plastic stuff and then, to a design or a drawing. This is designed to build material, build blocks, sheeting, fabrication, you name it, to build a lunar base. And what they're doing on the space station is trying to simulate that sort of process. Can we do this in a low-gravity environment? The moon's got almost no gravity. It's very, very light. Space station up there, of course, has got zero. Weightless, you would call it no gravity. But what they're trying to do is to see if they can use the lunar soil and turn that lunar soil and rock into building bricks and facing a material and paneling. Now, good idea, because if you're going to go and make a base somewhere like on the moon, you've got to get all your stuff up there. You've got machinery.
Yeah.
You've got to take all your components to build your habitat. Why not build it on the surface? What a great idea. This is going to do that. They're going to use the lunar soil and the rock, which is magnesium, titanium, there's tin, zinc, zircon, you name it, iron in there. You can do that. We've done it here. And they think that they can fabricate a habitat on the moon in place there where they land. Now, can you imagine the spin-offs down here for that? We can use that same sort of technology to build low-cost housing and use the mining resources of the earth.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, look, this is a good idea, and I think when they do that, and they will, and I think we'll start building one with this type of process, because it's currently $10,000 for every pound that you launch. That's a lot of weight well, not a lot of weight, but it's a lot of money for a small amount of weight. So if you can get your building material to be made on the surface on location, you don't have to transport it like you do a house.
An army of 3D printing systems on the moon sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, then take the idea to Mars when we go there to make a habitat to live in. Anyway, we'll see how it goes.
I thought they were going to use a 3D printer to fake moon rocks for some sort of exhibition, but no, I like that.
We can use the lunar regolith, the soil itself, and they think it's possible. Yeah. Look, engineering has come a long way, and this is a great idea. I think it's brilliant.
Well, why do we start doing that regularly, and then we can start doing the same thing on Mars when we start moving people there. And speaking of Mars, they're recruiting people to live in a Martian habitat for a year. This has been making the news. So it's on Earth, but it's putting people in Mars-type conditions, is it?
Yeah, previous ones haven't worked out. This is an idea we've really got to do this. There's no other way. Mars is a long way from here. It's a 7 month drive. It's a long way to go. And any transmission between the two is going to take up to 10 minutes each way. Makes it uncomfortable. You're out of your comfort zone, period, way over your comfort zone. You've got no recourse if something goes wrong. So we've got to make sure that the people we send to Mars are going to be able to get along with each other. And they're also going to be able to work and function in an environment that's more alien than anything we've ever seen before. I like this. What they're going to do is set up a group of people. They're asking for applications now, NASA, and it's a paid job, to go for a year and spend it inside what's called a Mars Dune Alpha, they call that. 1,700 square foot habitat created by a 3D printer, so you're living in the same sort of building that you're going to be building yourself on Mars.
Yeah.
And this is all done at the Houston Space Center. They're being watched and monitored by experts. Now, volunteers are going to be working in the same sort of situation as they would on the planet. You've got limited communication back home. You've got to be prepared to use the food that you can make in there with the resources you've got.
Yeah.
Potatoes would be good. You got your odd walk outside if you want to. And they're planning to do this next year. Now, the conditions are pretty strict. If you've got a master's degree in science, you're going to be in. If you've got an engineering or a master's degree, you're certainly going to have a first-place chance. Only American residents, unfortunately. I'm just out of this bracket. I can't apply. Between 30 and 55.
Right, okay.
In good physical condition. Oh, that puts me out for sure. And no dietary issues there or prone to motion sickness. What it means is, look, they're going to do this properly. The last one done by the Russians, called Mars 500, didn't end very well at all. People were fighting, there were issues, there was suspicion, and just all sorts of things went wrong because they profiled the wrong people.
Just the psychological alone, David, for a Mars exhibition, you are looking at, you know, potentially 10 years, maybe the rest of your life. You can't have the colonists all killing one another and then, you know, not starting any legacy.
Well, can you imagine being locked up in a tin can for 7 months with the same people? You've got to be able to get along. And that's what the whole idea is. So this is a dry run. We'll see how it all pans out anyway. I think it'll be good. If we're going to go there, we're going to need to make sure that we can get a crew there in good condition and still get the same number we started with.
I love it. All right, keep an eye out for that one, and you'll find links up on davidrenke.com to that particular bit of information. Now, you've got a book review happening on your davidrenke.com website as well called Time Travel 10 Short Lessons. What's piqued your interest in this? I mean, I'd love to time travel. We'd all love to go back to 2018 before COVID.
Wouldn't we ever? Where would you go? What would you do? Would you do the same sort of thing, or would you change things? I think we'd change things. But you can't do that. Now, I'm now a reviewer for John Hopkins University Press in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, they've given me books to do this in the past. I've been doing this about 10 years now, actually. But this is a book that's come my way, now sent over to me to review. A brand new book by Brian Clegg. Now, Brian Clegg's written quite a few books in the past. This is done in an interesting way. It's done as a book in lesson form. There are a whole bunch of lessons here. There are 10. And the idea behind it, the book is called Time Travel, 10 Short Lessons. If you wanted to build a time machine, what would you do? If you built one, where would you go? If you build a time machine, what are the problems you're going to experience? If you build a time machine, how are you going to counter cause and effect? These are the sort of things that we've got to be content with. But his theories are good. I like the idea behind this book. It's simple, it's digestible, it's written in non-sciencey terms, and I kind of like it. And what they're saying here is that, okay, Einstein's theory says, and it holds tight, that time is an arrow, a direct straight line arrow, and we travel along that. You can't go back. Because you can't go back to something that's not there. Even if you did, you would change present history. You couldn't go back in the first place.
Okay.
Crazy. But it doesn't count or rule out, listen to this, it is Einstein's theory of relativity, and it deals with time, by the way. His theory does not rule out that that time arrow may have side roads and off-ramps that we don't know about.
Skewing, yes. We saw that in Back to the Future.
Yeah. So who knows where this is going to live? But if you want something to just take you away from the lockup we've got and the situation we're in, a little bit of escapism, it's a good book, and I highly recommend it. Can I just mention something else? Look,
yeah.
Very quickly, on my website, I've been asked by a lot of mums, what can we do to sort of, you know, get our kids, entertain our kids and teach them something in the meantime about space? Well, I've devised a little pack I put together that's going quite well. It's a little fundraiser for our group, and it's a whole bunch of exercises, colouring in sheets, activity sheets, puzzles, all sorts of things that I've put in there, fact sheets in a little package, I guess you'd call that. We've got those up on the website now. If any of your listeners are interested in it, it's a way of getting the kids entertained, and if they're in the colouring in age, it's well, it's only $15 for that one. And,
yeah, okay.
You know, we're not making much at all out of it, but I'm getting some good feedback from it. So it's on the website now if anyone's interested to go and have a look.
Kids are certainly keen.
Little space pack.
All right.
Yeah, little space pack. We've got davidrenicky.com.
Have a look at those links and have a look at that review on the book Time Travel 10 Short Lessons, because we'd all love to go and change things. And I think that's why we've never been granted the power by whoever to go and do that. Imagine how reckless the universe would be if that happened.
Oh, everyone going back changing things is just not possible. But it's always good to get away from it a bit with you. Get out of you know, the stuff we're in at the moment.
I love it.
And just, I'm trying to find a time machine, actually. If you know, second-hand one will do. I'll pay any sort of money for it. Go back to, where would you go back to? Where would you go?
I'd go 2000, the celebration of the Sydney getting the Olympics. That was a really good time.
Good, yeah. The whole country was going on.
Or even 1988, got a chance to see the tall ships. I don't know. Yes. I just felt those two events, 1988, 2000 Australia, were just a time of great well-being and happiness and prosperity. It was really good.
Yeah, that was a great time. Yeah, I'd probably go. I'd join you, I think.
All right, Dave. You could rig a tall ship with me. You'd love it.
Yeah,
all right, till next week, mate.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.